Hey everybody, Dan's out of town this week, so we decided to dig up the audio from our very first episode after Jake referenced it during last week's interview with Georgie Ristoff. At the time, the club was on a mid-season break and getting used to life under new owner Bill Edwards. The 2014 World Cup was also in full swing, and we made some predictions that look pretty good 4 years later, and some that don't. The only editing done to this was to add the current intro and outro music and to normalize the audio levels. We hope you enjoy this one, and we'll be back with a new show the week after Thanksgiving. Live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves, official scarf suppliers for MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com.
Hey, this is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Throw. Ball's going to bounce down. It's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Substitutes podcast
with your hosts Matt and Dan talking about Tampa Bay Rowdies, NASL, and whatever else after that.
A little bit of the World Cup right now.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing that's going on. I guess that's big. People are paying attention to it.
I think it's got a little bit of bite to it.
Yeah. Speaking of bite, we've got our Stone and Joy by July 4th IPAs, double IPAs in front of us, and some bratwursts about to go on the grill. We're going to talk about the first half of the Rowdy season before we get to the food. And well, you don't get to the food. We get to the food. That's the fun part. All right. So the first half is over. The massive nine-game season that decided who gets to go into the first slot in the playoffs, because that's fair. Minnesota won it on our field in front of us. We were there that night. That was an entertaining game, but not one to... Not fun to come out and watch another team celebrate on your field. I don't want to break it down game by game.
No.
But what high point, low point of the first half? What do you think?
Honestly, I think the first half of the season was an overall disappointment, going from the expectations of the players brought in at the beginning of the season. We expected a little more, but I think, you know, think discussions I heard before the season was the issues with our back line, and I think they showed in those nine games, like what you said earlier, most two or three goals scored in the 80th plus minute that caused us to draw.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think, you know, with the new ownership coming in and the changes they made and the money they spent on the players, the expectation was that they were going to try and run out and win this first half. And book their spot in the playoffs, which was a smart strategy to make. If you've got the money to do it, go ahead. On paper, it looked really good. It looked like a lot of goals in this team with Shriver and Ristoff and Lucky coming back from last year.
We scored 10 goals, and then 11 if you include the own goal in the opening match against Edmonton. So that's not exactly a production you want.
No, I think that's not what they had planned at all. And like I said, you know, we finished up two wins, four draws, three losses. If you look at those four draws, three of them we held the lead, gave up goals. Two of them we gave up goals after the 80th minute. So that's there's something you can look at to improve or correct for the next season is focus for the full 90 minutes, not give up those late goals.
even if you took out those two games where we gave up goals in the 80th minute and beyond, that's 4 points we dropped right there. That would put us even with fourth place with Carolina.
Right, and a better goal differential, because those two goals would put us, if everything else stayed the same, we'd be at a -3 goal differential to their -4. We would be in fourth and in the running for the playoffs.
Yeah, to me, I know we talked about this the other night, in my opinion, getting into that playoffs is going to be kind of hard. We're 10 points back from where Minnesota finished. We're 9 points back from New York in second place. We got half the points that basically those two teams did.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to win the second half, and then you've got to get up into that. You know, for us to get in, it almost looks like we're going to have to sneak into that last spot, which, for me, the expectation going into the season with the changes and the money they spent and everything, the playoff series should be a reasonable expectation, I think.
Well,
that's where we should be.
At the same time, on the flip side of that, the injuries have kind of devastated us too. Shriver went down halfway through that first half.
Mm-hmm.
Diego being gone the entire first half of the season with his injury, and then Pickens going down like a month ago with in the Cosmos game that we got blown out 3-0.
Yeah,
I mean, there's injuries as well to take into account, but this performance is definitely disappointing.
Yeah, Restrepo going down was a big one. He was so good last season coming in, especially later on in the season. And then, you know, for him to go out, but then to make a purchase like they did with Shriver. I mean, Pickens, who was massive in the first couple games, saved two penalties, had some great stops. For me, and I'm going to say for the first half of the season, I'm going to say my player of the first half was probably Wagner.
Yes.
Especially near the end. He came out. The energy, the hustle, the work rate, everything was fantastic. Tied for the lead, 2 goals, 2 assists. Just watching him on the pitch, it's fantastic. I love seeing him play. I think if Shriver had been healthy the entire first half of the season, well, first of all, we'd be in a lot better spot.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, he'd probably be the player of the first half. Yeah, that was a great person.
Our team boasts the Golden Ball winner from last year, the Golden Boot winner from last year, and Diego won the Golden Gloves, didn't he?
He was in the team of the week multiple times. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, but really, what I think, like we have discussed this the entire off season before, was how the Rowdies were going to cope with the loss of Luke Mulholland. I mean, last season he had 11 goals and 8 assists, and we're severely lacking in that now. We talked about it at one of the games as well, as how if you look at there's no link-up play between the midfield and the forwards, and every time the forwards get the ball, their back is to the opposing goal. They all have to try to stop, control, and turn. There's no runs being made. There's no fluid motion or connection between, which Luke provided last season.
Yeah, the goals, the attacking presence, the sense of fear other teams would have with him, the creativity obviously is a huge missing thing. A lot of that's due to you brought in so many new players. They've got to have time to get together and build that chemistry and gel. Hopefully, it seemed like as the season went on, you know, especially you look at that Strikers game where they came back from 2-0 down, the Minnesota game where it kind of went back and forth. We were down, then we had the lead, then we gave it up, then we fought back for the tie. The spirit looks like it's starting to come through. The chemistry is starting to come through a little bit, and hopefully we'll see a lot more of that in the second half of the season. For me, overall, I'd say the highlight of the first half of the season, I'm going to have to say the Strikers game, just because you came back. It's against the Strikers. It's at home. We were down 2-0. They brought their bus full of fans. They sat there. They're up 2-0 against their rival, their in-state rival. They couldn't be bothered to stand up and sing. They waved the flags around a little bit. We came back, got the winner. Would it have happened if they weren't down a man? Who knows? You know, maybe not. That's just the way it went. But to get a win like that, I think at that point was necessary. The Minnesota game was entertaining as heck. I got to sit in the midfield section for that one for the first time.
Jerk.
Yeah, it was fun. Sat behind, you know, a couple rows back behind the bench. Got to hear, you know, what goes on during a game as far as Ricky yelling out instructions to the players talking on the field, stuff you don't usually get from the bleacher seats. It was a lot of fun. That was a really entertaining game. I would have preferred to have come out on the win and or at least, you know, not given up the lead like we did. But at the same point, we fought back to get the lead. We fought back for the draw. That was an exciting game.
I would say the Minnesota game was the most exciting game of the season. But you're right. I think the Strikers match was our best performance of the season. Yeah, I think it also helps set a tone for the end of that season and the start of this new the second season, whether it's a fall season or a summer season.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's labeled. But that second half of the season, I think it kind of brought us back to let us show that we can fight. The mentality is changing. We're coming together. I would like Lale. I would like to see get a run out more in the second. Because in that Strikers match, he was instrumental. I think with his runs down the side and his energy.
And he's improved a lot. I went to a couple of the preseason games. His improvement from the preseason. I think he was still fighting off an injury then, or recovering from an injury. His improvement in that into where the games counted was pretty substantial. So yeah, see him getting some more time. Lucky, I feel, personally, my opinion, should be starting. It may be a question of fitness or stamina with him, if he can go the full 90 minutes, but he comes the closest, I think, to replicating some of the creativity that we got from Luke in the last couple seasons, which is sorely missing.
I mean, I like Georgie's potential there. He seems pretty creative, and I wouldn't mind dropping him a little behind, you know, two strikers, like putting Lucky and Shriver up top, and maybe Townsend. You can rotate Townsend out of there as well. But, I mean, dropping Georgie a little further back to give him a little bit of link-up with Shane Hill and Russell to create a better midfield. But I'm a huge fan of the midfield diamond, so...
Right.
That goes to that. But I wouldn't mind that seeing that at all.
And you mentioned Shane Hill. And you know, Shane Hill is a player who, over the years, has kind of, you know, been hit or miss, hot and cold, as far as the reviews he's gotten for his performance and then maybe the opinions from the fans. I thought Shane Hill overall had a pretty good first half of the season. As far as some of the performances he turned in, was more solid overall. So I'm glad to see that. Like you said, the Fort Lauderdale game maybe had been kind of like a turning point. You know, I know we finished with the 3-3 to Minnesota and then dropped a 2-0 at Carolina to end the first season. But I think, you know, changing that, maybe changing the mentality and changing the attitude a little bit is good, because even though we're still technically in the race in that Fort Lauderdale game, we weren't really in the race. No. We weren't going to finish in one of the top two or three spots.
We were kind of playing the Cosmos game, and we failed. We didn't show up, it seemed like.
Yeah, the Cosmos game was a backbreaker, I think. Well, and even going into the season, when we go out there, and you know, we've brought these players in, they look, you know, we've had some pretty good practice games. I went to the one versus Tampa Marauders, the one down in Bradenton versus whoever the team from Iceland was. I don't remember their names at this point. We looked pretty good, and then going into the Edmonton game, we've got Edmonton, they've got to travel from there down to here. You know, they've got to come play in Tampa, and you know, it's not necessarily as warm or as humid as it is in the summer, but it's still a vast change from Edmonton. And to come out of that with a 1-1 draw kind of set some warning flags off for me.
Definitely. I watched that one on the computer up north, and again, we looked good with everybody like together and healthy for that one match. We looked good. I mean, obviously, you could still see a little rust coming off in the offseason, some chemistry starting to build. The interchange between Georgie and Shriver was starting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our back line let us down late, if I recall. No, we got the own goal late.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
But our back line let us down early in that game and didn't give us a chance to get fully going. But we did actually, that was one of our impressive performances, even though it was very early in the season.
Yeah. All right. So it sounds kind of like we both agree the Fort Lauderdale game was probably the high point of the season. The Cosmos game, the 3-0 at home, was not. And look, credit to New York. That's a good team. They've got a good you know, leadership team and management team behind it. They're spending money. They're doing a lot of the right things. You still don't expect to lose a 3-0 game to anybody at home.
No, I mean, also the match against the Silverbacks early in the season, the third game that we lost 3-1, was kind of painful as well, because they got blown out 3-4-0 to start the season from a strike.
Right,
from
that looked like a team we probably could have handled.
We should have been able to handle
at least gotten something from that game. At least
the 3-1 was terrible.
All right, so we'll move on a little bit. We've been kind of in the midseason break right now. We mentioned injuries earlier. They ran an article on the website earlier this week about Amani Walker coming back. There's another attacking threat. The more competition, the better. Someone's got to start banging him in, hopefully. Restrepo, it seemed like it was hinted at he would be ready for the second half of the season. I think we... Did we see him warming up or at least
Pickens,
taking practice?
Him and Pickens seemed to be on that last Minnesota match. We're taking a couple of goes at the warm-up session.
And they look good. I mean, they were diving left and right. They were doing some lateral movements and some stops and some stuff like that.
I still want to know what's going on with Pickens. There's been zero team news about that.
Yeah, Pickens went out, and the most we've ever heard, I think, was that it was a quad thigh injury.
Yeah, and that was it.
But no estimated date of return. No anything. I haven't heard much what's going on with
him. I mean, I would assume. I was hoping he would be back after the break, but. I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out going into the break and see what we're coming back. The other big news in the break is that they're finally getting the field level out. They're getting the new grass put down. I'm not kidding. I must look probably two or three times a day on the Facebook page to see is there a new picture of the grass being put down. The grass has been put down the last couple days. Yeah. Looks pretty good. They're watering it. I'm hoping, it's.
Next Friday
is the July 4th friendly, and two days after that is the Orlando City friendly,
their cup match. But isn't that a
no, that was early.
Isn't that the second leg?
This
is the I-4 Derby.
Yeah, there's two friendlies coming up. Yeah. Hopefully the field's going to be in good shape. It's one of those things where you could look at it and say that maybe the field itself is playing part of the reason why we haven't gelled, but both teams are playing on the same field.
Right, exactly.
New York knocks 3 in.
You can't blame the field when it's, you flip sides at halftime, and it's...
I will say, though, I went down on the field for one of the, I guess after, actually two of the games, the first game when they had the band, the bagpipe band playing, the Red Hot Chili Pipers, which was a really cool performance. I was pretty impressed by that. I liked that. Now, I'm biased. I wore a kilt for my wedding and had a bagpiper there, so it appealed to me. But for the one of the fireworks games against that was Fort Lauderdale.
That was Fort Lauderdale.
We had some friends visiting from out of town for that game. Sat with the mob, but I took my daughter down there in the field. We watched the fireworks, but even then, I could tell that field didn't look significantly worse than it had last season,
which is hard to do because I went to a few games like either after heavy rains where they're squeegeeing and. The field was a disaster, and the fact that they're actually taking care of it and making the moves, A, for player safety, and B, just to improve the quality of the game, is great. It's great news for the future of Tampa soccer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The commitment's there, which is fantastic. A lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, I heard some people who were kind of up in the air about Bill Edwards when he came in. What's he trying to do?
I was one of them.
About are they going to change the name to the St. Pete Rowdies, which I, personally was really against.
Me too.
I don't live in St. Pete. I don't live in Tampa anymore. I live in Sarasota. I still make the drive up for as many home games as I can. Have my season tickets for the second half. Thank you.
I just bought mine.
The team to me represents the whole region. They partnered with the Clearwater Chargers, the youth group. That group has branches in Tampa, St. Pete, down here in Bradenton. I think it kind of represents the whole area. So I like the name stay the same. But, some people were kind of hesitant about him coming in. They obviously spent money on players.
Oh, yeah.
Can't argue with that. It looks like he's trying to angle his way into possibly taking over the management of the field. Totally in favor of that.
Me too.
Offered to put down money to pay for the replacement and the leveling of the field if no baseball diamond was put in. City said no on that for right now. They're going to put in, it looks like, and I didn't notice this until a couple weeks into it, but what they're going to do, the baseball diamond's still going to be there, but it's going to be like in Toronto.
Yes. With
the clay is only around the bases
and the
pitcher's mound.
It's a start.
It's a start. Exactly.
We're moving. I think in a year or two, the baseball commission's contract is up. I think in a year, maybe two. I really think we'll end up, if Edwards hasn't found a better option, I think he will outbid them for the contract. Because, I think the Belgian national baseball team or something?
The Netherlands youth team. Yeah, two or three games, maybe 100, 200 people combined.
Right. I mean, St. Pete would be ridiculous and quite stupid to let the baseball commission keep that stadium at this point. Each year, I go to a Rowdies game, and the crowd gets a little bigger each year. Mm-hmm. The game is growing. Word of mouth around. And then their awesome advertising campaign. Last season, those posters. I was driving, actually, around for work yesterday, and I heard two or three radio commercials on 102.5, I think, and The Bone, and a couple other stations. I mean, the advertising is great. They're getting people. Their social media presence is growing, which in this day and age is huge.
Absolutely. I remember the first season or two, there really wasn't a whole lot of advertising, especially down here in Sarasota, Bradenton. There's really not much. What I have noticed, watching a Match of the Day on NBC Sports, there's ads during Match of the Day, Match of the Day 2 on there, which is, I think, big. You can't question that... Mr. Edwards' commitment to the team, at least for now.
I mean, for now is all that matters.
Right.
I mean, he's growing it, and whatever he wants to do, you know, if he grows it to a point and says, I'm done, I'm selling, as long as it's to a good person, I don't care. He's making strides for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And from these rumors and articles we've read, it seems like he's gunning for top flight MLS.
The MLS whispers are starting again. Be honest, I'd love to see it. I've told you before, I think MLS is just personally biased against Tampa Bay to begin with. We're not going to get the Beckham deal, the Atlanta deal, where you can come in and either not have a stadium ready or be playing in a NFL stadium. We're not going to get that opportunity for us to have a team back here again. It's going to take a soccer-specific stadium. It's going to take local ownership. We're kind of halfway there. You've got to have the money for the franchise fee to get into MLS. Whether that's something that comes out of Edwards by himself or through the team, whether there's some connection with other groups in the area. Like I said before, I think Vinick with the Lightning is kind of a natural fit. Although, you know, would that mean that the stadium, the team moves to Tampa?
I would hope not.
I don't know.
I mean, I really enjoy the St. Pete for the Rowdies. I don't know. It makes sense, yes, maybe go over by the Forum because there's space and there's channel side. But I like the atmosphere around St. Pete. I like the stadium on the waterfront with that little view. Like, you know, break in action, you can just glance over the water. I like the pubs. I mean, you know, Crowley's, I don't even off the top of my head.
Corrigan's. Yeah, I mean, we started doing a little bit this last half season, venturing out and hopping on the St. Pete trolley. I'm going up to Green Bench Brewery, hit up Cycle Brewery. I need to hit St. Pete Brewing Company.
Yeah,
going over to Corrigan's. The area around there is fantastic, and
right.
It's exactly the kind of area I think you would want to have for an MLS-level pro soccer team. You have to do something about a parking issue. I don't think that garage right next door is big enough to handle everything. But
that is the only issue with St. Pete.
Yeah, but I think you can work around it. You know, Edwards owns that used to be Bay Walk, now it's Sundial. There's parking facilities there. I think there's something to be done.
Or we can kill two birds with one stone, move the Rays to Tampa, and then let Edwards buy that Tropicana Field area and build there.
True. It's near enough by, you know, with Central Avenue and the areas over there, but like you said, the waterfront location
is ideal. Especially
you could even, in theory, and I've talked about it, you could pull up a boat up there at Demons Landing, walk over to the game. That would be an amazing thing to do.
I mean, especially like things like this year, the friendly on 4th of July with the Strikers, and then the post-match fireworks over on the pier. You can, you know, being, well, no longer single, but going through the years, if that would be a good date idea. Take the girlfriend to the Rowdies game, watch the fireworks over the water. Even have that.
Yeah, that's. I'm bringing up. I brought my daughter to one game this year, the Fort Lauderdale game. 6-year-old, she had a blast. We sat with the mob. she stood 80 minutes at least. We caught her at one point laying down, napping on the bleachers.
She snapped right back up.
Snapped right back up. We got her going.
And that's a credit to the mob as well, that you can take your young daughter into the supporters group and not worry about too many obscenities and anything like that.
I mean, there's some chance, there's some songs, but, you know, it's a matter of being a good parent and saying, well, hey, but, you know, there's words here, and she knows the words. She said to me, I know there's words I shouldn't say, so.
She said
she hummed it for some of those parts. Now, one thing we should probably address, people start digging through some of our Twitter histories or whatever, you know it's coming, the Georgie comments. So it started, I guess it was really only the Fort Lauderdale game.
Yeah.
We're sitting in the mob section, you know, we're cheering, we're singing, we're clapping, we're whatever, we're ripping on the Fort Lauderdale fans. There's a guy behind us, had to be two or three rows behind, but it's still in the mob section because there were mob guys behind him. And the entire game, he's ripping on Georgie.
Boom!
Georgie's lazy, that was crap, get him off the pitch.
Go home.
Oh, God, it was horrible.
Everything against Georgie. Everything. Anything. Any touch Georgie made, if the ball was hit too far for Georgie to run, he didn't run hard enough, he was too lazy.
There was no making this guy happy, and I never saw who he was, but we've kind of made an in-joke in person on Twitter online about Georgie. Let's make it clear.
We love him.
We love you, Georgie.
You are still my MVP.
We're making fun of that guy, not you.
I mean, I was praying you were going to score the winner that match, so I could have turned around. It
would have been fantastic.
I mean, you're tied, you know, for our most goals and our most assists. We can't, you know, with Wagner, we can't really be too mad at you for being lazy. When you were still the one person performing.
So let's not get anyone confused on that point.
I love Georgie.
This is a Rowdy's podcast. We are fans of the team, of the players, of the coaches, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that we're not going to criticize where we think criticism may be made, but also we're not saying we're the experts either.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not the person you want to sit with over a couple of beers and talk about tactics. because I'm still, you know, that's not my strong point, definitely. That kind of wraps it up for the first half. I we'll take a little break here for a few minutes. We're going to grill up some bratwurst. We're going to drink some more beer, mostly because people say when you're recording podcasts that one thing you should not do is eat or drink. So we're definitely going to eat or drink because those guys aren't doing soccer podcasts. We are. If I was at a Rowdy's game, trust me, I'd be eating and drinking.
What's soccer without a pint?
Absolutely. It's just not the same thing. We just went and watched the beginning of the Brazil game, up in the first part of extra time, with several more pints than we planned. It happens. All right, so we'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We're going to look at a kind of preview the next part of the fall season, talk about some of the postseason chances, ideas, and just kind of cover some stuff. Maybe from the Open Cup, there's been some interesting goings on there. from the World Cup, apparently that's something America's interested in, despite your grumpy older relatives posting on Facebook that no one likes the World Cup and no one likes soccer. I think we know it's not true. Otherwise, we wouldn't be recording a podcast. All right, so we'll come back in a little bit.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, we're back. We've about finished off our Stone IPAs, which, if you're a fan of IPAs, you'll like this. If you're not a fan of IPAs,
stay away.
Well, I mean, I'm not a massive fan of IPAs. It's almost like hot sauce. People who like just use hot sauce for the sake of being hot, that's not my jam. I want some flavor. I want some taste, some texture to it. this IPA, and like I said, I'm not a massive fan of IPAs. I like them. I've drank a lot of them lately. As you go through this,
it gets better.
It gets a lot better. It's not,
but
it's really hoppy up front. As you get near the bottom, not as harsh.
I'm a big IPA fan, so this is right in my wheelhouse, and I enjoy it. But you know, give it a shot. I have not had a bad IPA yet.
Because you might even want to. It's the Stone Enjoy By July 4th IPA. You might want to grab one or two.
Bring especially
to
for
the
Tuesday.
Strikers game.
I would do it for Tuesday, the U.S. Men's National
Tuesday?
Game.
Yes.
You know, drink it before the 4th of July. Have an early celebration when we
beat
some Belgium.
You're not allowed to have Stella. You're not allowed to have Palm. You're not allowed to have a bunch of things. Now, okay. We were over at J-Dubs watching the Brazil-Chile game. The last beer I had was a Belgian quad, but it was brewed in the U.S. I think that's okay.
You're good. It's just a genre, pretty much.
Yeah, we're not having Stella. We're not drinking any of this stuff for the
next
week or two.
Nothing brewed in Belgium.
I mean, if you're Belgian, go ahead. Drink what you want. You know, if you're Jean-Claude Van Damme, go ahead. I'm not touching.
I'm sticking with what I did for Ghana. I'm going to drink my Budweiser Tallboy cans and with the American flag. And if we score a goal, I'll be shotgunning Steel Reserve for every goal scored. And I will even post videos of me shotgunning terrible American beer. We all have to make sacrifices for our country. That is mine.
No, that'll be alongside the video of you twerking in the Al Lang parking lot.
We won those games.
This is true.
Whenever I twerked at Al Lang, we won, and we scored quite a few goals after my twerking celebrations.
We're also chowing down on some Hillshire Farm American craft bratwurst. It's supposed to be like kind of the craft beer small batch of bratwurst. It came out halfway decent. I'm impressed. So we're eating and drinking and talking about soccer, which is pretty much what we do at Al Lang, you know, for every game anyway. So, you know, cool. Let's go. All right, so we'll get to some World Cup stuff later on. We covered the first half of the season, some of the stuff going on in the break. We're going to kind of preview the second half. Again, we're not really going to go through this game by game. You never know what's going to happen, injuries, suspensions, whatever.
Form
players maybe getting sold, who knows what, but I kind of look at, you know, this is the longer half of the season. This is where you've really got to kind of show that consistency,
put your nose to the grindstone and work,
develop those habits. I always look at maybe the first three games and the last three games of the season. So, you know, we've got the friendlies against Fort Lauderdale and the friendlies against
Orlando,
technically a friendly, I guess is what we call it. But then we get into our league games, the ones that actually matter, that have some meaning. We start off at home against Atlanta.
Winnable. I'm sorry. I mean, they had the league, the first half worst, -8 goal differential, or difference, because I know some people hate the word differential.
They finished tied with us on points for the first half of the season at 10 points.
But conceded 3 more goals.
Below us on differential. At home, that's a winnable game.
Should be.
Now, I don't know. They had a little bit of misadventure at the Open Cup versus Colorado the other night. Some players said it would end up at like 10 versus 8.
8, and then it's their goalkeeper.
That happens to me in FIFA when I get bored of playing the game and I'm up like 3-0. I just start slide tackling to see if I can get people sent off.
But it wasn't even just 10v8. It was their coach, their manager, their assistant manager. Their goalkeeper coach was managing that game from then on.
I mean, you got to feel for Eric Winalda. Like, you know, he's not
those
around.
Those words will never come out of my
mouth.
Well,
let me qualify. He's not around all the time, and he shows up because they're playing MLS, and he wants to make an appearance, and he's sent off. You kind of, oh boy.
My only hope was that he was suspended from broadcasting duties as well. Like, a Suarez-esque ban of all footballing activity, and he was done out of the booth just for the sake of my eardrums and Fox Sports.
He's sent off. Suarez hops out and bites him. Could it get any better?
That's what needs to happen.
Who knows? So we've got that game. You and me both agree that's a winnable game, I think.
It is.
I haven't obviously been keeping track of what Atlanta's been doing in the break. I honestly don't care. I just want to beat them. It's at home.
Indy 11 on the road. We should win. They only, won one game and drew one?
Yeah, I mean, And the one they drew was against us.
Right.
That was one of those we held
early
the lead.
On in the season. That was
our second game, I think.
Yeah, again, it was our second
they
game.
They scored in the 81st minute somewhere in there, tied it up.
But winnable. If we've gelled, if, you know, I have all the faith in the world with Ricky Hill and to have gotten this team to another level in this break, especially with people returning, hopefully returning from injuries and whatnot. I really think that game is winnable even on the road. The San Antonio game, the next match, that might be a little bit of a challenge, even though it's at home. I mean, they finished third.
They finished above us, 7 points ahead of us. But that was one of our wins from the season, and that was on the road. And you know that it's. For some reason, when Tampa Bay and San Antonio seem to match up, it's always interesting. That was the back and forth game from last year.
Yeah,
with a ton of goals getting banged in, and we ended up winning. We won on the road with opening their new stadium.
It always is interesting. And
the eternal optimist in me says we're at home. That's a winnable game.
It needs to be. If we want to have any hope of making the playoffs, our home matches have to be, no matter what, winnable.
Yeah.
They need to be won.
You gotta defend your home.
And, you know, at minimum draw on the road, because they're home and home series. If you can beat them, and even if you're going to stumble along the way, like, especially in the longer half of the season, but you hope, like, you know, you can at least, you would get a draw on the road and you win at home. Make Al Lang a fortress, and that's on us to help as fans with the mob and anybody else. We get loud, we get rowdy, we do our thing.
Absolutely. And then you've got, after that, on the road, first road game of the season, August 2nd, against Fort Lauderdale.
The second road game, Indy is away.
Oh, okay. August 2nd in Fort Lauderdale. You know, I guarantee you the mob's going to send a nice crew over there.
Do you want to actually go on this one?
Well, we can't. We're going to be in Charlotte.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Liverpool and AC Milan in Charlotte.
Right.
So we're going to be out of town. We will keep up with it. I promise. We have our European clubs that we love too. but keep it local first. We will know what's going on with the Rowdies and
Rowdies,
the strikers in the game.
Rowdies Game Day Twitter at Rowdies Game Day. I believe it is.
Absolutely.
Follow that. It's a must have account.
If we weren't going to Charlotte, we would definitely be on that bus this time to go over there. To me, again, it's winnable. We've won in Fort Lauderdale before.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they finished, 3 points ahead of us, that's one of those. It's one of those matchups where you can kind of throw the form and everything out the window. It's the Rowdies and the Strikers.
In-state rivalry, derby, however you want to pronounce it, I don't care.
Absolutely.
But it is anything goes out the window for those.
The next two games after that are really big. On the road to Carolina. Carolina's got one of the best home non-losing streaks going on right now. In all competitions, NASL, in Open Cup, that they handled LA the other night.
I would just like to say, while we're doing this, there was a Rowdies commercial on the television as we are...
During the World Cup halftime.
Okay, anyway.
That's fantastic. Yeah, we've got the Colombia-Uruguay game on, and they're at halftime right now. But then we go on the road to Carolina. We're at home versus the Cosmos,
which I think is going to be. I think we can win three out of those first four. Carolina will be a challenge, but I think the test for the second half of the season is that Cosmos game. We have to win. We have to beat them at home.
That's going to be a big one. Hopefully, being in St. Pete in the middle of August may play a factor in that. We'll look and see. After the week after that, Carolina comes to town.
We can get revenge if we need to.
Absolutely,
because I that one, the Carolina way scares me.
Yeah,
I mean,
and full credit to them, that they've built that city. We watched that game on
NASL
Live. That they had an impressive turnout for that game. They got on top of it early, and they kept us out of it. That's exactly what you have to do with a strong road team coming in. Next three games after that, we go away to Ottawa. That's definitely winnable.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't know, maybe it's bias against Canadians, but I feel like the Canadian team, no offense, Matthew, I know you're half Canadian, but I just feel like, you know, that should be easily done, even though, Ottawa, they finished right above us, but only on goal difference. But I think we should be able to take that. I mean, we drew them the first half of the season, but I feel like at this point, who didn't we draw in the first part of the season?
I know, right? It's almost, you know, we have a lot of friends on Twitter that are Portland Timbers fans. And I'm not taking a shot at them, but there does seem to be a lot of drawing going on in Portland.
Sister cities at this point.
Yeah. After that, we go away to Minnesota, and if there's one thing you can always say about a Tampa Bay-Minnesota matchup,
they're fun.
It never fails to entertain. Whether it's us coming back in a massive game to win the NASL the Soccer Bowl at home, which was insane. That, to me, I was there that night. I was a couple rows from you know the field. It was insane. Just the way that story played out for that game. I will never forget how we won that cup. And I you know, we've got some mutual friends we go to the games with. I told them coming in, we're winning this on penalties. We won it on penalties. That's the night that Jeff Atenella, Luke Mulholland became Rowdy's legends.
Yeah.
The next season, over the next two seasons, some of those Minnesota players decided to come down our way to begin with. Obviously, had a big impact. That'll be a fun game to watch, if nothing else.
Always. There's goals
we may have some information coming up relatively soon about possibly other places you can watch that. I know the Mob has their watch parties. We may have an additional one to announce in the near future.
Yes.
I don't know how much more information I cannot give away about that at this point. I kind of put it all out there.
We're still working on it.
Yep. Ottawa comes to town after that. Again, that should be a winnable game. We go to Edmonton after that. We have one there. It's in September. It you know,
perfect weather.
Climate-wise, should be decent. Fort Lauderdale comes in. Edmonton comes in. We go on the road to San Antonio.
There's just a couple of games that I feel like just we're going to stumble, but most of these still, you know, no matter what happened in the first half of the season, just seems so winnable to me.
Yeah.
I mean...
It may be the eternal optimist.
Maybe.
But, you know...
I mean, like...
If you're not an eternal optimist, you really probably shouldn't be going to soccer
games. Yeah. Like, our second to last game of the season, you know, in October is the Cosmos away. And I will say, I'm begrudgingly doing this, but I was at the season opener at Hofstra for the Cosmos when they played Atlanta. And the atmosphere is pretty good. They have, I feel like there's, I don't know, don't quote me on this, don't, you know, there's a couple of different supporter groups that kind of form one giant supporters group.
Right.
And
yeah, I've seen that on Twitter. A lot of them getting
together. They didn't sing. I will give Ralph's Mob that. Ralph's Mob does not stop singing. They're one unit, and we're loud and we're proud. Really, the Cosmos group just had drums, but they didn't stop. And it was a good time. I mean, I wouldn't go back as I'm not a Cosmos fan, obviously. But I would go travel up there because it wasn't bad. It was a packed house too.
Right.
So I'll credit them. Hofstra's field was packed.
Oh, that's good. That's, you know, we like to banter a little bit with the other teams and the supporter groups and maybe even their coaches and players, but to be honest, in the end, we're kind of all about building up this second division of soccer. I think there is some fantastic supporter culture going on. There's issues in certain clubs in certain towns,
always,
to be sure, good or bad.
I will even say when I took that bus trip, two, 3 years ago down to Fort Lauderdale with the Mob, I drunkenly ventured over to the Strikers tailgate, and they were one of the most welcoming. They only encouraged me to get more drunk. They poured more shots down my throat, but they were, you know, pre and post game, you should be friendly. You know, there's no reason for hooligan or hatred amongst fans. Like, we're all just, you know, supporting a game we love and
right.
A team we love. I mean, for 90 minutes, all bets are off. You know, your mother, whatever. Those jokes can fly. But after that, like, there's no need. I mean, I have, like I said, Strikers fans are great. Cosmos fans, even on Twitter when I said I was a Rowdies fan, you know, behind the lines in New York, I didn't get any angry responses. They all told me to come and enjoy. So I enjoyed it.
That's cool.
NASL, I mean, I love it. I love the league. I hate to say it, you know, that demonic term right now, but it's like the hipster league. We're not MLS.
God, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, that's great because it's ours. Like, and that's one of the my draws to the Rowdies. It's our club. Like, you know, we're sitting here eating Brostrick and some good beer, podcasting about our club. Like, it's small, it's personal.
By the way, you finished your brats off before I did, which if you saw us, you know, side to side, I definitely would appear to be the person more likely to finish off two and a half brats before you. Kudos, I'm impressed.
But
man, they are good.
I can put the brats away. I don't know how you want to take that, but it's all yours.
All right, so last three games of the league for us, away to Atlanta, away to New York, home against Indy.
The last game is the one that screams definitely win to me. Cosmos away is going to be tight. Atlanta away is always going to be a struggle as well. I mean, the ones before, Minnesota, Atlanta, Cosmos, and then Indy, that three before Indy are really going to be tough to me.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a balanced schedule. We've got some key games up front. We've got a key New York game middle of August, and we've got some key games right near the end, finishing off with what should be a pretty good home game.
No offense, Indy, your support has been amazing.
Absolutely.
Guys, like, honestly, you're probably the top, would be, I would say, the ideal, like, the model support group right now for the NASL.
But we feel like we should beat you.
Yes.
No offense. Please come down and enjoy. We'll
welcome you.
We'll take you out for some beers beforehand or something.
We can even podcast before, tell you where we're going to be, and we will, you know, meet you guys out.
Absolutely.
Buy you a beer. Any Indy support.
So, as you know, the biggest thing now is the postseason expectation. Now, I am a huge fan of probably 90% of what they've done with the postseason. I love the idea, you know, if you're going to do this thing where you've got the split season and the winners are getting in automatically, you've at least balanced it out with the teams with the most aggregate points getting in as well. I think that's great. The one thing that I wish they would do, we've talked about it before, is for that final game, that final championship series, instead of being a one-off, one game in one location, go back to the two-leg final.
Yes. I think it's only fair. I think
At that point, you know, yes, it's the games that are deciding who wins the league, but it's also, to me, it's a reward for the supporters who have stuck by their teams that year.
Or
you get to see your team play in front of you with that title on the line.
Or find a way to make it a neutral ground. I really think,
yeah.
I mean, at that point, if you're going to do a one-off, you kind of have to find a neutral ground. I don't think giving it to one supporters group over the other is fair. But I would love to see two legs, because that's perfect. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, going back to when we won the cup over Minnesota, going into that game, we were down 2-0 on goals. It was a mountain to climb. And then the way that game played out, we got one back pretty early on, pushed for the second, got the second. As soon as we got the second, they get another one to go ahead again. We tie it up near the end. Shane Hill sent off. We play the entire extra time down a man. We keep it even, go to penalties, win that on the magic of Jeff Atenello and his super saves from that penalty shootout.
Tall, he's a brick wall.
It's fantastic. That was exciting. There were Minnesota fans that came in. That whole berm area was filled with Minnesota fans. That was awesome that they made that trip to see them.
I'm ashamed to admit I wasn't there. I was at a Halloween party in actually Fort Lauderdale. But that is, I had the Rowdies game day Twitter and the Rowdies Twitter. And I remember sitting there, people or, you know, like dressed up in costumes and having their beverages, and I'm sitting there glued to my phone watching the drama unfold via text. I felt like I was playing one of those old text-based role-playing games, and I was celebrating, and it was wild.
We were screaming, we were crying, we were jumping up and down. I didn't even go home that night. I crashed at a friend's place in St. Pete.
At least you have the loving, supporting wife that understands.
It was fantastic. It was just amazing. To walk in, to know that it's almost impossible for you to come back from that deficit, and then to do it was just
the best part
amazing.
Was in front of your fans, in front of your, you know, the mob. That's exactly what the game that helps grow the game, because now you had, like you said, if everything was that packed, you had new fan, you definitely had new fans at this game that just watched something.
The place was
improbable.
Packed.
Improbable.
It was amazing. Can we get is there an update on
2-0 Colombia?
2-0 Colombia over Uruguay.
55th minute.
Well, I guess you could say that bites for Uruguay. throw a joke in there in case you hadn't heard about some of the goings on. I'm not going to go into it. All right, so we're kind of there. Again, we said the expectation going into the season is that with the money we spend, the players we've acquired, there's no excuse not to be in that Final Four. From where we are right now, it's a heck of a tough hill to climb. Can we do it? I think we can. I think a lot of it's going to come down to, you know, just starting off this first match against Atlanta. You're coming back from a break. The players are hopefully rested, are hopefully healthy. The fans are psyched, are ready to go. As much as I love watching the World Cup, I seriously cannot wait until next Friday to watch the Rowdies again.
I agree. I mean, yes, the World Cup is the premier soccer tournament with the best players competing against the best players in the world. But I have been lost on my weekends without Rowdy soccer. I can't wait to get down there. I mean, I just recently bought my first set of season tickets because I am that excited for this. I'm all in.
Yeah. So I'm worried if you come out. I don't want to say lay an egg, but if you come out and it's not a great result, what it's going to do to the confidence of the players, what it's going to do to maybe some of the new fans are coming out. The fans who go all the time are going all the time. It doesn't matter. But I think you can reasonably expect to have, you know, with the watch parties they've done this for the World Cup, some of the TV exposure they've done, and just the general interest in the sport coming off the World Cup, I think you can expect a pretty good crowd there on July 4th. Especially you throw in the fireworks show, come down in the field. July 4th games are usually pretty packed to begin with. I've had friends who don't go to the sport any other reason have come to that game and loved it. Haven't come back, unfortunately, but you know we still talk about it. I
grew up.
It's big. It's really big.
I mean, I grew up playing, so soccer has always been an interest, but my family would only take me to Mutiny games on 4th of July to watch the fireworks. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of, like, early on, I mean, I would go to, I hate to say, you know, the first year or two of Rowdies, I would go to either 4th of July, and I'd go Dollar Beer Night. And when I was in town, I mean, it was a long drive for a mid-20s guy like myself. But, you know, now it's easier to do, and here I am, season tickets. 4th of July is, like, my tradition, I will say. Rowdy's 4th of July. Before they announced his friendly, I was lost. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool that they at least put a Memorial Day weekend game with Fort Lauderdale. That, you know, it kind of made up for it, but it wasn't the same thing. So I was psyched that they announced this July 4th game. You know, a lot of people want to make a big deal about the supposed rivalry with Orlando. I really could care less.
Nowadays,
unless somehow it's a league game where we're in the same league, or it's an Open Cup game, that's fine. But
even the Open Cup at this point, I mean, because let's be real, there is going to be a slight talent gap between the MLS players and then an NASL squad. And now with Orlando taking that leap. I mean, Kaká is, you know, Orlando.
It'll be fun to beat them when they're in MLS in Open Cup, the same way we beat Seattle.
Right. It adds a degree for us, like, to put a chip on our shoulder. But, you know, it's not. The rivalry is dimming, in my opinion, over Fort Lauderdale.
I've never put it on the same level as Fort Lauderdale for me, so it's not a huge thing. I want to win every game we step on the field against.
Yes, anybody.
But I'm not as bothered by a friendly loss to Orlando as I am to
any kind of loss.
Any kind of loss to Orlando, exactly. All right, so we're at like 50 minutes so far. We kind of blew through this. So let's take maybe about 10, 15 minutes or so and go through and talk about some other random things. So there's some other things in soccer going on. The World Cup's going on. This has been the craziest World Cup ever. That I know of.
And the most entertaining.
And I've probably been watching World Cups religiously. I'll be honest, I didn't probably pay much attention to the 1990 World Cup.
I was too young.
That was the Italy one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe. I was too young.
But 94 in the U.S., I watched that. I've been watching ever since. The World Cup is what ended up getting me into club-level soccer, and then even brought me to watching the Rowdies. It was, you know, last World Cup was when the Rowdies were kind of kicking off again, so I was going to those games, too, up in Tampa at Steinbrenner. And following over to St. Pete and from there. It's been a crazy World Cup. Who's going to win? Who's going to win the whole thing? Who do you have?
I'm going to say Germany.
I had Germany too. You know, they kind of looked pretty good against the U.S.
There's just nobody. That is the greatest thing I think about this World Cup, is there's nobody clear that you can say is going to dominate.
There is no. It wouldn't surprise me if Brazil won. It wouldn't surprise me if Germany won.
No, or the Netherlands.
This could be the Netherlands year. I don't know.
I hope not, only for the sheer fact that I hate Robin van Persie.
Yeah, I
disliked him when he was with Arsenal, and I absolutely despise him with United.
That was a heck of a goal he headed in, though.
I will never take that goal away from him. That was
crazy.
The best goals I've ever seen. And from that moment on, you knew this World Cup was going to be insane.
He whipped it on the high five, but the goal was...
Well, that's what happened. You got to look at the elbow.
Exactly.
You got to look at the elbow.
You have to track
the elbow.
He
was looking everywhere else.
We were talking about it, half of the final 16 now are North American, Central American, South American teams.
So don't tell me that the soccer over here is bad. I mean, yes, the NASL, the MLS, they're not World Cup quality leagues. They are not, you know, even the Premier League. But we hold our own. Yes, it is not the most beautiful soccer, but American soccer as a whole is not beautiful soccer. Watch our men's national team that is now in the knockout rounds of the World Cup.
It's gotten a lot better, especially the growth in the last World Cup to hear the style.
Klinsmann has improved it, but it's still not beautiful.
It's still a work in progress.
Which,
and it may always be.
And you'll see it trickle down, though, from the leagues. As the U.S. kind of figures out its soccer identity, it'll trickle down from the national team to the MLS. And once we figure out how we're going to do the rest of this league system, promotion, relegation, or you know, just divisions, how it is now, but it's the structure solidifies, you will see it trickle down. You'll see, you know, us finding our national identity at soccer. It's all through, you know, England has theirs. Germany has theirs, which is why Spain.
Right.
That's how Spain keeps going. Yes, they got eliminated in the group stage. But
I have to tell you, I did not anticipate Spain going very far in this tournament, but I did not see them not getting out of the knockout round. I mean, out of
Costa,
the group stage.
Diego Costa. They tried to fit a square peg in a round hole for their playing style, and it cost them.
They could have
probably blown away their group with a false nine instead of Diego Costa trying to play to his style.
And England, I didn't expect England to do much. England getting out of the group stage doesn't necessarily surprise me. England having their worst ever performance, getting 1 point from three games.
Hodgson.
I didn't even think Hodgson could be that bad, but yeah, that.
To be fair, I know we got. You know, our group was called the group of death, but a group of Uruguay, Italy, England, and I mean Costa Rica was a dark horse there.
Yeah,
but
very.
That group was not easy. I'm sorry, like I know Portugal and Germany, like the second and fourth ranked teams in FIFA with us and Ghana is a pretty intense group. But Italy, England, Costa Rica, who was kind of a dark horse, but in Uruguay. Luis Suarez was always going to come out with a chip on his shoulder against England. I don't mean that as like he's trying to take a chip out of an Italian shoulder, but like you knew he was going to come out flying. He's a I don't care what anybody
says.
For
him to come in and even admit, and you could see it during the game, he wasn't fully fit. He wasn't even maybe 75% fit.
And he scored two goals and
nice goals
and eliminated England. I don't care what Roy Hodgson says. I don't care your opinion on him with his terrible, terrible life choices on biting everybody. And he is a world-class player with a mental problem, and he was going to come out and attack.
Exactly. What he does on the field within the rules is absolutely amazing. And
he's up there with Ronaldo and Messi. I don't care.
I would have no problem saying that for the last half of the year, or even the last season, he may have been the best player in Europe, if not
you can come at me with him and Ronaldo tied on goals, but 31 each of them, but Ronaldo had penalties in on that.
Yeah.
Suarez took zero penalties, 31 goals. You can come at me with he doesn't do it. This is now turning into kind of a bias for my Liverpool, but, you know, Suarez, even for Uruguay, like, before he, you know, knowing about his now three bites, the bite trilogy, that handball on the line in the last World Cup, I want that guy on my team.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't, you can say that was unsportsmanlike. I don't want a sportsman in that sense. I want a guy that's going to go on the biggest stage of his playing career and do anything it takes to win. Handballing on the line and taking one for the like taking it on the chin for the team.
Yeah, hey, look, he knowingly broke a rule. He was punished instantly and accordingly to the rules.
It's not his fault. Ghana but, then shanked
yeah,
the penalty.
Yeah, it's not his fault that Asamoah Gyan sent that thing into the stratosphere. And of course, he's going to celebrate.
Yeah, that, I would too.
Hey,
I'm sorry,
you're putting it on the line for the club and the country. Maybe it doesn't look the best. It's not the beautiful game. But
that is beautiful to me. I'm sorry.
If you're in a knockout stage, you do some things you don't normally
fighting?
Do.
Fighting? No.
No.
No. This is now
no,
first time.
We are not condoning that.
No. First
at
time,
all.
I was like, whatever. Like, saw red, bit a dude on the shoulder. Second one, something's up here. This one, I will say I don't defend it. I don't condone it. I am a Liverpool fan. I love him to death for what he does on the pitch within the framework of the rules. I don't mind selling him. I want him gone before he's suspended for more than, you know, what he is.
Yeah.
And we can't get anything for him. I'd rather take 50 mil and Sanchez or like 70, 80 mil and be able to rebuild than lose everything that we put into him. He's a world-class talent and we should get something from him.
All right. So Suarez has kind of been making a lot of the headlines at the World Cup. But there's some other stuff going on. I mean, I'm going to cover some of my favorite and least favorite things about the World Cup that maybe are kind of the non-traditional ones. One of my most favorite things about the World Cup is the third-place game. The final's great. Two countries going at it to be champions of the world, but the pressure on those teams is immense, and they often play like it. They're playing not to lose instead of trying to win. The third place game,
all bets are off.
Yeah, but it's basically a glorified friendly.
Yeah.
No one really remembers who wins the third place or who loses the third place game, but that's a lot of fun to watch. I love watching the third place game. The only thing that may be better this year than the third place game would be Suarez and Hope Solo in a cage match. Two players enter, one player leaves. But I don't think we're going to get that.
I got my money on Solo on that one.
It wouldn't surprise me. I'd probably take that bet too. So I love the third place game. The other thing I really love about the World Cup is watching an entire country's team melt down. Last World Cup, it was France.
Yes.
This year, it's been a little bit of Ghana, a little bit of Nigeria. You know, with players getting sent, you know, suspended for you know fighting their coaches.
Yeah, Ghana, you know,
Nigeria, and The greatest story that we may ever see from a World Cup was the Ghana players refusing to play unless $3 million in cash was flown into Brazil from Ghana. And so Ghana charters a plane and flies the cash in. First of all, who did they find the pilot that would say, yeah, I'll fly a plane across the world, halfway across the world, and not disappear with the money? Secondly, who did they have to make sure that no one hijacked that plane once it landed?
Especially, you know, no offense to an African nation, but like a nation like Ghana, where obviously there's issues, you know, with corruption up and down and, you know, basically not a very strong central government. And I'm sorry, you could have probably paid off any of those government employees on the plane or the pilot.
Oh, man. That's just an incredible story.
Unless they hired an outside, you know, company or something to do it.
Yeah. That's just, and then, you know, they made their demands, they got what they wanted, set an example for other teams. Nigeria started demanding the same thing.
Well, I believe
Nigeria wouldn't practice.
But they weren't
they canceled
paid.
Training the other day.
But they weren't getting
Yeah,
paid.
There's issues in there. You can't fault them for asking for what they've been promised and what they're entitled to. They're representing their country. They've traveled, you know, halfway across the world.
That brings me to an issue for another, I guess, maybe episode of this is, should the World Cup players be paid to play for their country?
That's interesting. I think you have to. Especially with some of these players, depending on the leagues they're in, they may not be getting compensated for league games they're missing if their leagues are still going on. And you're out there, you're performing for your country, but you're still working. You're representing your country, you're wearing the shirt, but you're still working. I think there's got to be some compensation.
I mean,
whether it's an incentive-based thing based on your performance, where you finish, getting out of group stages, knockout stages, something like that. There's got to be something, I think. Otherwise, you're going to have some of these players in some of these leagues, especially, you know, like the Premier League, Serie A, Bundesliga, where they're making tons of money, not going to play for their country because it's not there.
But in those countries, the FIFA calendar lines up where they'd be on break anyway.
Right. I mean, you still out here, you've got MLS is still being, MLS played yesterday a couple games.
Right.
And they've got games
they were
going
friendlies,
on.
Weren't they?
Hmm?
Were they friendlies yesterday for the MLS?
No, they were league games, I think.
Okay.
You've had some Open Cup games going
yes.
on. The calendar in the U.S.
It isn't, and
some people complain about that, but at the same time, you factor in the travel that these teams have to do and the temperature, the weather, and stuff like that.
I mean, and then for league-wise, if we play any other time of year, you're competing against playoff baseball, the NFL, even, I mean, the NHL and the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it was a major thing when they maybe shared stadiums, but, you know, a lot of teams don't now,
right.
But they are sharing fan bases.
Right.
So it could still be an issue.
Conflict of watching. I mean, all of the ratings we start, like the MLS is starting to garner, could shift easily back to the NFL if you try to go head-to-head.
Right. All right. So that's kind of, you know, some of the things that we do like about the World Cup. I love a good meltdown, a countrywide meltdown.
Yes.
Things I don't like. And I've never noticed this one until this World Cup on Twitter. Is people who are obsessed about the anthems, whether the players are singing or not, how you know vocal. Okay, it's one thing if you're commenting on the fans singing the anthem, that's cool. If you're concerning yourself with the players not singing the anthem or even not singing in in perfect time with the anthem. As someone had posted on Twitter, I hate when the players are representing their country, they don't sing the anthem, and I'm pretty sure it was a reference to Clint Dempsey, who has not sung the anthem in any of the three games. He stands there with the death look on his face, he's got his hand over his heart, and they're doing the hand on the shoulder with the other one. The first two games, he scored goals. I'm not going to complain about the players not singing the anthem.
Your first mistake is being on Twitter. I mean,
that's usually a first mistake for everything.
Twitter football fans are the absolute, the majority of the worst.
They're the absolute best, and they're the absolute
worst.
Especially during stuff like transfer season, World Cup.
They nitpick too
Wednesdays.
Much. Yeah. I mean, I can't complain. I mean, you and I became friends
we're
from
one
Twitter.
Of them. Yes,
my
exactly.
girlfriend I've met through football Twitter. I mean, I can't really argue with football Twitter and say they're all bad, but really... Football Twitter tends to bring out the worst in people and the best.
It does, and it's spreading beyond there. Because the second thing I really don't like, I don't have any time for it, is everyone's grumpy older relatives, and it's usually on Facebook, posting articles explaining why no one in America likes soccer, usually in a direct response to everyone else on Facebook posting about how much they like soccer. Yeah, one of the things we talked about over at the brewery today, trading on the New York Stock Exchange dropped 25% during USA Germany.
It was also the most searched U.S. versus Germany is the most searched thing on Google in the world at the moment that right leading up to kickoff because people wanted to watch it and they're trying to figure out
exactly. I think part of it overall is that in general us as U.S. national team fans. Are still like hypersensitive to what the rest of the world thinks about us and our team and how we play and whether we know the sport and whether we're good or not and all that crap. I don't care. I like to watch the team, play the games, and comment on that. I don't care if someone else on the side of the world doesn't like that we use the word soccer. Big deal. I don't care if they don't like, you know, whatever it is, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. In reality, in my opinion, they're, you know, people, especially other countries, try to rip on us because we're becoming a threat, because we're becoming better. No one rips on Australia for calling their national team the Socceroos.
I mean,
no one rips on anyone else for using soccer. It's only in America. So I don't care.
Because look at, I mean, this is a generalization, probably a very elitist American point of view, but other than pretty much Japan, where baseball is ours. I mean, South American teams, where it's still very much an American sport, which is kind of why they got away with it at the Olympics. They don't do it at the Olympics anymore because there was one, you know, country domination. Basketball, hockey, you know, Eastern Europeans would probably beat us in hockey in Canada. But we've been coming in second, really, in Worlds. But we're not, my point is...
Last
really,
Olympics aside, because that hockey
team my point
a
is, the rest of the world is put on alert as far as soccer. If interest hits a certain point here, more and more people are going to start playing. You're going to get better and better athletes playing from America. And the money is going to start happening. And you're going to see us shoot up the charts. I mean, it works for us because not only are we, like, a quote-unquote... We have a lot of people. Let's just put it that way. We have a lot of landmass, a lot of people, that our player pool will be a lot larger. And we can take over the sport. And I can see people in, you know, those traditional nations getting scared.
Yeah, and then that leads into the second thing that I dislike the most, probably, about World Cup, is soccer fans complaining about two things. One, people who don't like soccer. And two, people who are starting to like soccer. That's all it is. There's been one column and by a certain columnist that's been reposted and retweeted and shared and favorited and whatever else, and everyone's shared their opinion on it. I'm not going to mention the author. I haven't read the article. I haven't read the column. I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care what professional trolls have to say about something, because they're professional trolls.
On your second point, you know, there's just bandwagon U.S. men's national team fans is probably the one thing I could do without this World Cup. It makes me want to punch myself in the head. I mean, you complain. These people that are calling people bandwagon fans are the same ones that spent the last 3 years between World Cups complaining that soccer, or, you know, rubbing in people's faces that soccer is growing, or complaining that soccer isn't big. Well, you're going to have bandwagon fans in a nation that football or soccer is growing. You're going to have people that are just focusing in. And I want that. I'm all for it. I want the. But you know what? If you're listening and you're a bandwagon, quote-unquote bandwagon U.S. fan, come join us at Al Lang and be a bandwagon Rowdies fan. Join us now. Get into
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
That's what we want right now in this country. We want bandwagoners.
It's kind of like a tradition in sports. The teams that do well, catch the attention, do something newsworthy, people start to follow them. Again, I have no problem with the so-called bandwagon fans, even if they go away for 4 years until the next World Cup, because at that point, they're supporting their country in the largest sporting competition in the world, the most watched sporting competition in the world. Some people are only doing it because it's the U.S. That's fine.
Okay.
I don't care about swimming and track and field and stuff like that outside of the Olympics. But
I'm the biggest curling fan every 4 years.
Absolutely. When it's the Olympics, I love it. I want to win. So, you know, you always talk about, and you see a lot of the supporter groups, especially around the league and other leagues, saying, you know, that they're open and inclusive and welcoming to everybody.
But,
well, that's got to be all year round, not only during your league or only outside of the World Cup. If someone wants to enjoy the game, then let them come in, invite them in, explain something to them. That's the way it should be.
I mean, you have your two groups of fans. You always have your welcoming groups and people that are like, come in, I'll help. And then you have the other ones that, like, carve their amount of time, like their service time as a fan, into their body.
Like,
and
you get,
like,
a ribbon for it. Because
I'm a bigger fan
because
I've been here for 10 years and you suck because you just started. No.
Who cares?
But those are the kinds of people. They're going to be everywhere. They're in everything. They call, you know, you just started liking this team, you're a glory hunter. Like, Yeah. I'll never understand.
And in some cases, it's applicable, but still. They may be a glory hunter for a particular team for a particular reason because of a certain result. Bring them into the game, they may change their mind.
Yep.
And start heading another direction.
Educate. Like, whatever. Just let the open, you know, just yeah. bring them in, let them see it.
Basically, just stop bitching. There's some fantastic soccer being played, and it's on. You know, right now we're watching games on ABC.
Yep.
That's fantastic. On ESPN and ESPN2. That's fantastic. In a couple of years, 2 years from now, we're going to have the combined CONCACAF and CONMEBOL Copa America being played in the U.S. That's going to be amazing.
Half of the knockout.
Half of the final 16 is CONCACAF and CONMEBOL, and you're going to have this amazing tournament here. You're going to have the Euros going on in the daytime. You're going to have Copa America at night. It's going to be fantastic. Stop complaining about what everyone else is doing. And watch the damn game.
Just enjoy it. It's a great sport. It's the beautiful game. Enjoy it. Don't let the fans, other fans, make it ugly for you.
It's supposed to be. The appeal is supposedly based on the fact that it's, you know, the easiest game to play. You need a ball and a field. It should be the easiest game to enjoy watching as well. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Who cares? We both moved on. Also, last plug for these here. We moved on to some different beers. You've got the Intuition, which is they're out of Jacksonville, right?
I believe so.
Intuition People's Pale Ale. How's that? Yeah,
it's actually really good. It is really good.
You might have to leave me one so I can try it.
I am going to, and then this will probably be my men's national team game beer.
Nice. I've gone on to something that will probably make you vomit because you hate America and peanut butter.
I'm a bandwagon American fan.
This is the Terrapin. They're out of Athens, Georgia. Liquid Bliss. Liquid bisque, like there's lobster in it. Chocolate peanut butter porter.
You lost me at peanut butter, as you well know.
Fantastic. I love some weird flavors in my beer. This is fantastic.
Peanut butter is not a flavor that should be in anything.
Oh, it should be in everything. I ate peanut butter cereal for breakfast. It was amazing.
I don't know how we're friends sometimes.
We love the Rowdies. We do. I
love the Rowdies.
I think we've covered it. We had planned to do like a 45-minute podcast. We're well into... about a half hour over that.
Oh, Jesus.
If you stuck with us this far, God bless you. You probably need a beer, too. Have one of the ones we've tried or recommended. They're fantastic.
We'll get better at this, we promise.
Yes.
This is our first go.
We'll at least try.
Yeah.
So hopefully going forward, this is going to be kind of like a weekly thing. Maybe either a preview or a review of a game. Probably review's easier. We may have some other interesting events lined up coming, you know, going on in the future. We'll share more about those as we decide. We're on Twitter, but we're going to set up some separate accounts for podcast/Rowdies kind of stuff. So we'll share more of those later.
You can follow the podcast directly.
Exactly. At Unused Subs Pod.
Yes.
At Unused Subs Pod. You can find us on the internet at theunsubs.com, theunsubs.com. This should end up on iTunes hopefully soon, depending on when I get it submitted and when they get around to approving it. If you're not using an Apple device, you're not using iTunes, we're working on that process too. You can go to the website and listen to it there. You can download it on MP3 straight from there. I said, this is our first time. It will, dear God, I hope, get better going forward.
It will.
I think this came off pretty good, though.
I enjoyed it. This is fun, and we will do this definitely. Yeah, we'll keep it weekly, and I hope you join us.
From our studio here, which is basically my computer closet with a folding table in it. All right, that's it. We're
Thank
out.
You, guys. Bye. The Rowdies were there, the Rowdies were there, they kicked the wall around. The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there.